People tend to grumble when they are dissatisfied, when they don't get what they're looking for. We find this in the first reading. They were grumbling because here they were out in the desert. Of course, they had just seen the Red Sea parted. I mean, it was not a minor issue. And they walked through it dry shod. And here, shortly after, they're already beginning to doubt God. Why did he lead us out here to just let us die? We missed the food we had before, and on, you know. It's all about them. And then here in the passage of St. John here, the people had their stomachs full, and they wanted more. They wanted more food. They wanted a good deal. It was free food. Never mind the fact that it was multiplied miraculously before. That's where they got this good deal to begin with. These are people that witnessed the multiplication of loaves and fishes, and now they want more. Rather than to notice that something miraculous has happened, that the power of God is before them, they're concerned about what they want. I had a novice one time when I was novice master, whom I called Brother I Want, because he wanted everything. Finally, he wanted to leave, and he got that. Not much has changed. We all tend to zero in on the wrong things when we're centered on ourselves. People get excited about one thing or another, and they will act like these things are so ultimate when they're not. I remember a number of years ago, at Christmas time, the big thing was the Cabbage Patch doll. If you remember that. They're rather ugly, I thought. But anyway, everybody wanted them. They were standing in long lines at Walmart and various stores that had them. The stores would get sold out. There were fist fights over them, and it was ridiculous. Now who wants a Cabbage Patch doll today? People don't even remember it. It was a big thing then, you know. Novelty, what's new and different, and if other people want it, then I want it too. And you look at the advertising, it's crazy. I mean, the ultimate driving machine, the BMW, that's a big status symbol today. The ultimate drive, it's not an ultimate driving machine. It doesn't deliver. It just takes you, it can take you to the grave, but it can't take you past the grave. It would be ultimate if it did, but it doesn't do it. So what are we going to do with ourselves, you know? There's a man who gives talks at various places who is quite remarkable by his situation. He has no legs and no arms. So he rests on a table and talks. He was talking to a group of teenagers, and he certainly got their attention because it's phenomenal. I mean, this man is living, he's married, has children. The first thing the kids asked him one time was, what made you that way? And he said, nicotine. They all sat back and they realized he was joking. But he sounded human. They thought they'd give him a listen. Another one said, well, why are you like that? And he said, probably because God wanted me here to tell you something. And he proceeded to share with them that the things we consider so valuable and so necessary aren't really. That the one thing that's necessary, he was quite capable of doing. Of giving thanks to God for his goodness. This was a hard one for them to grasp. But it was powerful because it was hard to forget. I mean, immediately we think of ourselves, how could I live like that? I mean, to be completely dependent on other people for the most mundane things. He couldn't even scratch his nose. He has nothing to scratch it with, you know? And yet this man was at peace and was content because what was essential, what is truly essential, he had. Now, the passage here, our Lord speaks in terms of the true bread that his Father would give them, which was, of course, the Eucharist. Now, if he had suddenly appeared to them as the host, just hanging in midair, they wouldn't have known what the value would be. I mean, again, it wouldn't have any arms or legs, just this little piece of bread. But it is the living sign of the Passion. If you go back to that, what do you find? You find him with arms and legs, but they're nailed to a cross. What could they do? We live in such a pragmatic world. We want things to be useful, and we want to be able to understand their use. We need to know what we're for. You know, you'll find sometimes people lavishing their children with all kinds of gifts. I remember the Dominican sisters have a boarding school, an academy, Sacred Heart Academy, in La Cañada down in Southern California. And they have a lot of poor little rich girls there who are there because their parents don't want to bother with them. They have all kinds of things, but the one thing they want is their parents. And the parents don't realize that. In fact, the sisters there become parents to them. Each night before the girls go to bed, they all want the sister to come and make the cross in their foreheads. That's sort of the equivalent of the goodnight kiss. But it was individual, and the sister is giving each one attention and love. Everybody wants that. But when people get so caught up in what they want, they're not that attentive to each other and the needs of those around them. We all fail in this. Bishop Sheen used to give retreats to various groups, you know, monasteries, convents of sisters, and prisons. And he used to take great delight in emphasizing the similarities of the way they lived, the prisoners in the prison and the monks in the monastery. The big difference is that the monks were there because they wanted to be and the prisoners were not. But in fact, the term cell, when we think of a cell, we either think of a phone or the cell that makes up the cells that make up the body, but most often we think of a prison cell. But the original cell was the monastic cell, and the prisons borrowed that word to describe the rooms in which the prisoners lived. It's amazing to find out how broad the church's influence has been through the centuries. Church has been around a long time. In any case, some very special things happen in prisons. I visited a prison down when I used to be the promoter for the Dominican laity, the Dominican Third Order, and the chaplain at the Avenal State Prison down in the southern San Joaquin Valley near Hanford was a Catholic. He was not only a Catholic, but he was a member of the Dominican Third Order. And so he had me come down, and I visited with him. I had to go through all kinds of clearance in order to do it. But went in, and I was very taken. There were a number of Hispanics there, and they had written a song for me, which they played a guitar and sang. It was really very nice. It was all they could give to the visiting priest. And I went in my habit. They were very, very respectful. And the chaplain said that when he would bring the ciborium with the Blessed Sacrament in for them for communion service, the minute the men see the tabernacle, they can't take their eyes off it. There are many conversion experiences there. He said there are some saints living in prisons these days. See, because what happens is once this movement takes place where they're recognizing the Lord's love for them and recognizing who the Lord is, then they become second in importance and he becomes first. That's conversion, or metanoia, as is said. And suddenly, even though they're in prison, they're free. They're freer than many people who are outside of prison. They're the freest people on earth when they recognize who God is, when they recognize his generosity and the fact that they're not here accidentally. They exist because of God's deliberate act. No matter how that conception came about, it came about because God allowed it to. In fact, because God stepped in and gave an immortal soul. We all resemble the Trinity. We all are products of the triune God. And as St. Augustine says, we'll never be happy. We'll never be at peace until we'll never be at rest until we rest in him. And it's true. And it has been true for centuries. And the Lord is reminding us of this morning. You know, it's not about what we have. It's about who we are. And we are the people God loves enough to show us his love in such a dramatic way on the cross. It wasn't an act he went through. He really experienced the pain. That's how important you are to him. And so our crosses in our lives, those things that we deal with day in and day out that we don't like, that we'd like to not bother with, and some of them are great, like this man. That's certainly a cross, not being able to walk or not being able to take care of himself. But it daily reminds him of who God is. And one day, we will know fully who God is, because we'll be in heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.